In this manner, we thank you that this moment everything drops away. All the pains, tribulations, temptations, our little annoyances, trivialities, all that is now empty, and to comparison to the light you show above us. Lift us into the holy heights where you dwell, and open our eyes that we may see. Help us to touch you like the woman who touched the hem of your garment. Help us to love you with a burning love that can never be extinguished. This we pray in your name, so shall it be.
So shall it be.
So shall it be.
We're now going to bless the bread and wine. If you have bread, we'll do it together. Okay. Statement and response. Okay. Okay. With the bread.
In that night in which he was betrayed and gave himself up for the life of the world, he took bread.
Likewise, in the same manner also, taking the cup into his noble hands and giving thanks to you, he blessed it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it. For this is my blood." And as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we do show forth the Lord's death until his presence is fully revealed within us. And I often say, many will eat the bread of life, but few will drink the cup of passion. I think Graham, he did that. And now I'm crying, so can we please have communion? Thank you. Yeah, can I have a middle piece, please? It's too hard. Thank you. Very nice bread. To Christ and to Graham.
Christ and Graham.
I think he's trying to get me pissed. Okay. What we would really love to do in the next little while is say a few words about Graham. And when I say a few words, I mean a few. I have a bell.
My God.
And I've used it before. And so, if I call out your name, would you please say just a very few words? You know, you don't have to say anything, but you could easily just say, "I love you, Graham." In fact, I might just share with you one thing that... And actually, it was from Grace, because hi, Luke. From Grace, because she had a bit of a fiasco not being able to get into her campground. So she says here, Here are a few words from me this afternoon. I didn't know Graham well personally, but the stories of the miracle man who literally rose from the dead following his ordination. And we were there, I think, Melissa, you were there. He literally walked off the canvas. He was the absolute manifestation of a miracle. Anyway, she finishes off with some Maori words, which were interpreted by my husband, and it means sleep well, my friend. Love from Grace. So that was pretty short. Now, I can see you, Christine. Would you like to say something?
I have a very special memory of Graham. I had gone to see him, but Peter McCallum, he was gravely ill, and I didn't know that he was being ordained that afternoon. And I arrived just after he had been ordained, and I expected to walk in and find someone looking a lot sicker than Graham did. I was looking at a man resurrected. He was radiant, and he was just so full of joy, and it was just the most precious, sacred time. And yeah, it was just so beautiful to be there with him immediately afterwards. So much love to you, Graham.
He is here and he says thank you. Oh God, I feel like an idiot. I'm crying already. Fabian, would you like to say something?
Yes, my memory of Graham, which sort of sticks out because I didn't really know him that well, was I heard him before I met him, because I was sitting in the circle at the centre when you and John must have, Melody and John must have brought him along, and he played with you one night. I think it was a healing service, and I was sitting there, and then we just heard him play. And like some people, when they play music, can, you know, it's sort of interesting what can be told or something like that, but his ability, even in that moment there, he touched me. And something about him, I guess, before even meeting the man, and it came through so strong. And that's my strongest memory of Graham, is how he sort of moved me with his music. And so I thank Graham for all that he gave us in that way.
Yeah, it's lovely. And I might just say a few words here, because I met Graham way back in the early 60s. So I knew him for a very long time, all the way through the jazz days. And he first played with John Hawes Jazz Band. They had number one hits in the 60s, and John Hawes rang today to say his few words about Graham. And I thought, when, actually, we didn't bring him, Fabian. He just walked in.
Is that
and I got the big, yeah, I got the biggest shock of my life when I said, what the hell are you doing here? Wow. Anyway, he's just been amazing in every single area of his life. He never stopped working. He never complained. He just kept going and made that decision, which I said to Melissa, many patients on their deathbed choose their birthday to make a decision or to go home. That's it for me. What about you, Sarah? Did you know Graham?
I didn't really know him very well, but he seems to have been an amazing, amazing person.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Francesco, did you know Graham?
Well, I didn't know Graham, but somehow, he has been a really lucky man to meet all of you and to live in the time he was born. And I just wanted to say that the end is the beginning of something else. And if there wasn't an end, we wouldn't be able to experience the magic that is next. So I'm pretty sure he's in a pretty beautiful place at the moment, and he will come back in another form and in another life. So yeah, I have hope. This is not the end.
It is not the end, and thank you for those precious words. Now, I did want to offer, Ken, I'm coming to you, but I did want to offer Melissa a few words because she looked after him at the end. Fortunately, we were able to go and see him, and but she took charge of everything, and it was really remarkable. So, Melissa, what would you like to say?
Yeah,
And thank
you're
you for
cutting in and out,
anxious.
Melody, so I don't know if anyone can hear me. Can you guys
Yes,
hear
I
me?
can hear you.
Okay, there's pouring rain and thunder in the background here. Yeah, it's certainly not the end for Graham. He's guess I the main thing I want to share is how ready he was. Just a few weeks ago he was talking so positive and stoic, and I don't think any of us knew how much he was going through in his body, and he had plans to publish and all sorts of things he was still going to do. And then when he made that decision on his birthday, and the doctor said, you're going to go through a lot more pain and the treatment is not really going to, be helpful. And he made that decision to withdraw it, and he was so ready, and there was so little fuss. And he just wanted to go right then and there, as if he could press a button and be beamed up. And so for the next couple of
And he
days, that's what
was.
he wanted. He was like, why am I still here? When am I going? I've said I want to go. And yeah, he was just so ready. And it was really beautiful to watch. And then to feel the things that happened around him in those final days, the reconciliation with his family. It was revealed that he was a priest to his family through Milda. And his grandson Charlie sat by his bedside 24/7. And on the night before he passed, there was Milda, Charlie, and I until midnight. And Charlie, Graham was, his eyes were closed. He was in a deep sleep and not in pain, but you could tell he was just there listening. And he was so happy because Charlie was starting to ask lots of questions. What does this mean? And we read some words to him that he wanted read. And yeah, it was so that was really, really, really special that he had that time with Charlie and his family. And then, it was 3 days and he left and he wanted to be gone. And even Andrew, his son, said, I don't know what Dad thinks is going to be on the other side, but he really wants to be gone. And he did. He was so ready. And he just stepped into it. And he came to consciousness very quickly, I thought, in spirit. And the first thing was, where's my party? Like he had all these grand plans, and I felt like he was trying to like pull the strings and connect everybody and get that happening. Then there came this moment when that wasn't happening, and it just got released. And you could see that there was this realization of the really important thing, which was his ordination, and his work. So, yeah, just feeling that sense. Yeah.
I think we all feel that
Yeah.
at the end. That's the biggest thing that comes to us, is
Yeah.
the fact that we are Melchizedek priests. So thank you, Melissa. That was lovely, really lovely of you. Sharon, do you have something to say?
Just something very brief. My strongest memory of Graham, and I didn't know him very well, and I have only very faint memories of playing at the centre. But I do remember at the elevation how he positioned himself right next to me. And I thought, oh, this is really nice, I think. And then in afterthought, reflecting on this, I realised that what he was actually doing was positioning himself as close as possible to the action. So he wanted to be right there where the power was being generated by John and Matt JR and Melody and what was happening through the actual ceremony. So it had nothing to do with me, it had to do with the ceremony of closeness to Christ. And that stayed with me pretty firmly since. And I just want to add one other thing, which is about Graham. And after he passed over, Melissa, I had this weird dream, and I'm pretty sure he was at the party, he was partying big and strong. And then there was a point that came, and it was quite a beautiful party with lots of very colourful figures and music, just magnificent display, like something out of nowhere else. And then at a point, party just disbanded, and it was washed with this huge, huge pulsation of love. And I think it was probably Graham having a damn good throw before he went. Finally. That's all I wanted to share.
Apart from looking at your beautiful face, can you still hear me?
Yes.
Am I going in and out?
No, I can hear you.
No.
Okay. I can see two lovebirds behind you in the tree.
Yeah, they come at this time.
That's gorgeous. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Probably demanding food. Usually starts at 4:30. Especially if they hear voices and they want food. But there you go.
Okay.
Can we have food?
Right. Thank you, Sharon. That's great. What about you, Ken?
Oh,
you loved him a lot.
Love you heaps. The I guess the take I'd like to sort of put forward. I mean, Graham's a beautiful man. There's just no other word you can say. But you said he's been around for a very long time in the music industry since the 60s, and it appeared to me that everybody knows Graham Davies like everybody knows the Pope. So there's one particular night I went to a place called Armadillo's Cafe. I was coming back from a particular function and just stopped there, very quiet. A guy called Dutch Childers was playing. Blues.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was talking to Graham a bit later on. I said, hey, Graham, this guy was playing at the Armadillo's. He's playing on Tuesday. Do you want to come along? He said, oh, yeah, who is it? So I started to tell him. He said, oh, yeah, okay, can you? Let's go. We'll have a look. Anyway, we walked in. There wasn't a lot of people there. And as soon as Graham walked in the door, he just looked at Dutchie and said, hey, Dutchie, how you going? G'day, Graham. How you going, bro? And it was just, I thought, you just know everybody, don't you? You just do. And I think that's a real testament to Graham and his influence and his knowledge and his music and what he actually really meant to so many people over so many decades. And we were just very fortunate to meet him and have quite a few decades with him amongst us, both in the centre and as a free priest. So he, he was sad that he's passed, really sad. But I think there's just something about that man which will just live on with us forever.
Mm.
Not just his music, but just who he was as a beautiful, beautiful, lovely man.
Mm. Lovely, Ken. Thank you so much. Imanst, would you like to say anything?
Yes, go
ahead. Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
We were muted because we didn't want to disturb anybody with coughing and things like that, since we've both been just a little tad
we're
sick.
Talking about
anyway, we're talking about Graham. And, a couple of things, I guess. I've read his history Of all the bands he's played in, you wouldn't believe it, from the 60s right through to the present day. It's just unbelievable. Like Ken said, he just knew everybody because he'd played with everybody. And not only that, all the instruments that he played. He played the flute, the clarinet, the trombone, he played the bass, he played the harmonica. It just went on and on and on. And each one of these things was for him an adventure. And when someone said, I think it was Melissa saying he's ready to go, I thought he's ready to go for another adventure. That's all it is. He's just, he was a person who was fearless as far as doing that. He went to Vietnam in the Vietnam War and entertained the troops over there. My God, to go into a war zone like that takes a lot of courage. And that was him. He was just completely courageous about everything he did. And of course, because if you are courageous, you're more likely to succeed than if you're not. So he did succeed. And I love him. He was great. He's fantastic.
Well said, Mark. Well said.
Thank you.
He's going to absolutely love what you just said, what everyone has said, because the soul needs to hear all these things that we're saying. Very, very present he is. Thank you, Amance. That was absolutely glorious. And Beck, oh, you're having a smoke, Ken. You make me feel like I want to smoke. I'm so impressionable. Oh, God.
I'll turn the audio or my the video off if you like that. It's okay.
No, don't. Beck will come on. Beck.
Yes, as Melody said, Graham was around my family before I was even born. So my father was also very good friends with him. In fact, my father was the one that filmed him on YouTube playing his harmonica. So if you get onto YouTube and look for Graham Davies and his harmonica lessons, my father videotaped that. Also, today we got to listen again to an interview my father did on his radio station of Graham Davies and his history and who he played with. And like Amant said, everything, like he started playing trombone and then clarinet and saxophones, all the different soprano, alto, bass,
Flute.
flute, harmonica. But he was very generous as a person because I spoke to him and said, "My son Joshua plays the clarinet and the bass clarinet. Will you have a little talk to him?" So he happily gave up his time during a retreat and just had a one-on-one with Joshua. So everyone's right. He was a brilliant musician, but he was also such a lovely, generous soul. So I'm sure the choirs are singing for him and the music's playing, the music of the spheres where he is now and welcoming him because he deserves it.
Yep.
Thanks, Beck. That's beautiful. Really beautiful. So, Margaret, are you there?
Yes, but I don't have anything to say, Melody. He was a beautiful soul, and his music, it was evident that music was important, and music's the bridge to heaven, isn't it? So
It is. Yes,
yeah.
you're right.
So that's all
It's
I wanted to.
wonderful. You're beautiful. Thank you, Margaret, even for that. That's lovely. Is Mercy, Dane, what are you going to say?
I'm just going to say, love your captain, Graham. And he alluded to me that he might catch up with me in the next life.
He had a
I'll
huge
see you
crush on you,
then.
Mercy. He had a huge crush on you, he told me.
Yeah, he told me one of the last times I saw him, I had no idea.
Dane, you're a muso. You can say something too.
Yes, the first time I actually got to know Graham and met him was at one of our ret the first retreat that I had with you guys at Port Arlington, where I actually had a chance to play with him. And that was very good. And not only that, from what Ken's been saying and Amance and all the rest of it, and Beck, yeah, after the retreat and all the rest of it, he actually sat down, we had a bit of a chat, and yeah, no, it was really good. And the last one that we just had at Indented Head, and listening to him play on his harmonica and all the rest of it again, yeah, that was special to me because, yeah, brilliant man, absolute brilliant man. And I'm just talking for the period that I've been free priest and gotten to know Graham. You're dead right. He is a very sought after and honourable and a gentleman, and I was proud to know him.
Thanks, Dane, and thank you, Merce.
No way.
Who have I got? Sheila.
Sheila's at a choir festival, isn't she?
Yeah. They changed the date, so that was good. Yeah. I've got too much here, so I'll just mention the last retreat since Dane's just mentioned it. I thought he sang a solo on his own and he wasn't very well. And it was just beautiful. It was very quiet, but the quality just shone through. It was just lovely. I was really moved that he could sing so well when he wasn't well. Mm-hmm. And it just was lovely. And it was, and I've always experienced him as a very warm and harmonious presence within him. So I'm
good for the harmonica, eh? Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
I was just going to say this because Beck mentioned that her dad did the videos. I think he did them under the name of Max Tinkle, but
that's right. Yeah.
That you can try either Graham Davies or Max Tinkle. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
One and the same person. Yeah, go on, Sheila. Sorry for interrupting.
Well, I think that's probably enough. I didn't know Graham since the 90s and over the past few years, he would sometimes ring up. And we'd have a chat and everything. And he did actually come to my house or rang me on December the 12th, 2020, because he was singing carols at Coles just up the road. So I went along. I just happened to be going up there anyway because I had a friend, I was meeting a friend for coffee. And he was brilliant. He was dressed in red shirts with a gold tie. He had a mate with him who was playing the guitar and he played the sax. And the whole place, Gateway, was illuminated by his presence. It was a bit chaotic because Coles hadn't arranged it very well. But he sang, played beautifully, he sang beautifully. But what impressed me most of all, he taught. Numerous people came up to him and families with children. And to everyone, I thought, my gosh, this is a real free priest at work. He was so warm with them. And I was very moved. I told him so afterwards. It was quite an occasion. So thank you, Graham. And I thank you very much for having known you.
Thank you. Sheila. Yeah. I always think of the priesthood as being a secret.
Mm.
And the free priesthood particularly. The priesthood's going to work no matter what you say. No one has to know because that pours out of you. And that's what you're saying, Sheila.
Yeah.
It just poured out of him. Yeah. And by the way, Dane, I think you are a fucking brilliant guitarist. Excuse my French.
Do you swear?
Absolutely brilliant. Okay, is Rain there? I'm enjoying my wine. It's a Pinot Noir. Is Rain there? Not the Rain, but Lorraine and Stuart.
They seem to have vanished.
She's speaking, but I can't hear anything.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, John Pattenden, you may speak.
Oh,
you have permission.
I haven't got much to say because I didn't know Graham particularly well. I didn't spend much time with him. But I do recall telling him one time that I thought his singing voice was better than Van Morrison.
Wow, that's a compliment.
And I still think so as well. Yeah. And his saxophone playing and his piano playing was just so smooth.
He was a rhythm and blues guy, not a swing player. It was just amazing. Yeah. Big difference. And yeah, he played piano really well. He did, when he did the last retreat, he asked JR if he would play Body and Soul, which is a song my father used to play and sing all the time. So I told Graham myself that I thought he was a beautiful singer. And it developed over time, you know. We don't just start something and have it magically. We have to put the work in. And it was gorgeous. Yes. Julie, what about you?
Well, the last time I saw Graham was at Indented Head, which was a wonderful time, time to spend with everyone, and I did spend some one-on-one time with Graham, and I've always marvelled over the last few years how he'd rally from these illnesses and the cancer, because I worked in oncology, and it was miraculous how he kept rallying from those illnesses that would have killed many other people. They just wouldn't have survived. They wouldn't have had that drive and that Christ input to survive, and a wonderful, wonderful musician and a wonderful person. And this afternoon I've been at a band, and after hearing you all talk, I'm sure that he's actually played with some of the members at the band that I've been with today. And he did visit me there, and I didn't know it was him, but I felt this wonderful cloak of love, and I thought, now who is that? And then I heard peace, and I thought, thank you, Graham. And it was just a wonderful cloak of love, and just a wonderful, I'm not going to cry, a wonderful time with him and feeling his essence and his spirit and that Christ within him. So, and I'm going from here to a blues band, so I'm sure he's going to be hovering around there and enjoying that as well, because he was music, wasn't he? Thank you.
He plays all the instruments. Peter, did you know Graham at all? Thanks, Julie.
I certainly did know Graham. I met him at Hawthorne Road. I remember it was after a Sunday service, and he was hovering down the back with the musicians. And I introduced myself to him, and we stuck up an instant rapport, really. Totally different personalities, but we developed a nice spiritual connection, if you like, which has continued down the years. I remember he talked to me about having a very strong spiritual connection with Colin Sachs-Reed, and how that demonstrated to me his caring and his loving ability. When Hawthorne Road closed, we went into a period of having services in the home, and we occasionally had services here, and Graham just lived within walking distance, so he would always come here and play a little at the home services. My musical experience of him personally was when he had a gig at a local restaurant around here, where he played in the evening for the diners, playing the piano and singing. And he always got a wonderful reception. I was in awe, actually, of his musical abilities. The qualities that I saw in him were warmth, caring, kindness. He was very generous. He had an outgoing personality, very interested in people, very loving, and he could be really charming and a smooth operator. especially talking with women. I remember that.
I remember him coming upstairs at Hawthorne Road with a woman on each arm and Colin having a good dig at him for that. Stop being so macho, I think he said.
Yes, I could believe he would do that. So go well, dear Graham. I shall miss you.
Thank you, sweetheart. Is Pauline here? Pauline?
Yes, I'm just unmuting myself. Yes,
awesome.
I didn't know Graham, really. Peter obviously knew him quite well, but I guess the sense I have memories of you, Graham, was that you seemed to be so self-assured, and there was definitely a sort of a presence that did flow through him. And so I did certainly feel very comfortable and loved in his presence. And he often wouldn't say much, but there was definitely something emanating from him. And so I guess I send you much, much love too, Graham, as you travel into the next sphere.
Thanks, Pauline. That's lovely. Thank you. Thank you. Luke, would you like to say anything?
I'm unmuted there, aren't I? You can hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I remember Graham from the centre days at Hawthorne Road, playing the sax and the clarinet. And with the orchestra, that's where I sort of first knew of Graham. And then later, we used to have a few conversations, and the words for me for Graham was, when you were talking with him, is that he considered, you spoke with him and he considered what you said. It wasn't like a quick response. He took it in and then would come back and have his say. So the words for me were considered and considerate. That was the man that I saw. So I didn't know him really, really well, but yeah. But I loved his music, the saxophone and the clarinet. That's the main things that I remember. Yeah.
Luke, thank you very much. Now, what about you, Heidi?
I'm just happy to listen to what everyone's saying. I think it's pretty much all been said. He was an absolute music maestro, genius, and, yeah, beautiful, lovely man. So go well.
And you told me the other day that Dad got pretty upset.
Yeah, he did. He told me that in 2005, when Graham was at Peter Mac, Dad had neck surgery in Melbourne, not far from Peter Mac. So he went in and visited Graham, and he told me he believed that that would have been the last time he ever saw him alive. Elaborating on what Christine said, he got elevated and, his life turned around, and, Dad got to spend many more occasions with him after thinking he was going to pass away. So, yeah.
That's lovely. And, you know, the other thing that Graham said about Dad, he said it was common knowledge that Cootsie was the best jazz drummer in the whole of Australia.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. We're not talking about rock, Imance. It was jazz.
That's true. I do know that Graham said that. He told me that too.
Yeah. Beautiful. So thank you, Heidi. I might, there's a couple of musicians here that I might read notes from. Rob Robertson. Farewell, my friend of 63 years, a great musician and an inspiration to many. Rest in peace. Well, we know he won't be resting in peace at all, but that's okay. There's another musician called Les Schindler. Farewell, old friend. Play on forever. Graham and I go back as far as 72. He and I spent many philosophical hours over the years. I'll miss you, mate. Les Schindler. Who else is in the house that I haven't called upon? I've asked for Rain and Stuart, but they don't seem to be here.
I think Judith just put her hand up.
Judith. Good, Judith. Yeah, let's hear from Judith. Thank you.
Graham and I had an interesting relationship over the years. It went up, down, and sideways many times, and it was always interesting. But Graham and I talked about writing, and he was very knowledgeable, and he was very interested in whatever the subject was. And he and I had many conversations just about stuff, just about writing and that process and how we looked at it. And I loved his voice. It was really splendid. And I felt, I suppose, it was a privilege, really, to be around Graham, or whatever we were doing. You know, whether in the day it was in the kitchen and or whether it was, you know, whatever it was always interesting. And I spent quite a bit of time with Graham up in Lake Macquarie with Julie and Rick. And we had an amazing Easter together.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I think when Rick got attacked by a shark, Graham was so shocked because he said, I've swum in that lake over and over again.
Yeah.
So, God, it was incredible, really. Yeah, but what a guy. 1942 to 2024. What a guy. Thanks, Judith. Thank you so much. Is there anyone I've missed? I can't see very well at the moment.
Irene. And Francis.
Ursula and Irene, yes.
And Martin. Yes.
Thank you.
Martin.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, we'll go Martin, then Irene, then Ursula. And your moustache looks blue, Imants.
They've got something happening in the background.
Oh. What is it?
Well, they've got a filter on in the background, so it's making them look like they have blue eyes and blue mouths. And
yeah. We're in the cosmos with Graham. We're looking at planet Earth.
See, planet you look Earth. Like spacehead. Yeah,
and so with Graham,
in Martha's moustache is half white, half blue. Go Cats!
That's funny. Okay, let's move it along, Martin.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, I spent I shared accommodation with Graham at
There's an elevation of Shula and Sheila. We spent some time together up there. And then
Martin, could you please speak up?
Oh, okay.
And announce those consonants.
We went up to Hall's Gap for Lynn's Rose Empowerment, and we had a wonderful time up there. And I felt up there that his presence was magic, actually. We were both excited that we were both in the Temple of the Sun, and we used to talk about that. And he helped me with my web page, and was always very loving and warm towards me. And he's always very interested in me and what I was doing in life. And he encouraged me with my my tarot and things like that. And so he's just a fantastic person and a wonderful friend. And I love him dearly, and thank you, Graham, for being my life.
Yeah. And thank you, Martin, for everything you've just said. Now, Ursula, would you like to say a few words?
I've just unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Very well.
All right.
Beautiful voice.
I didn't know Graham very well. I met him at all the retreats over in Australia. But I was always, always touched by his music. And especially the saxophone. I thought it had such a sexy sound to it. And he played it to perfection. So thank you, Mr. Tinkle, for the music. Lots of love and gratitude.
Very beautiful and succinct. Thank you. Irene?
So Graham was in my life in some ways in short bursts because he was in Australia. And so I loved his music. And at times we would meet at retreats. But when I was thinking about him the other day, I mostly loved the way he brought to my attention and my prayers, his musician friends as they passed into the spiritual worlds. And I felt like that was perhaps a precious task he had. And I thought no one else would ever know they'd died and bring that to us. So I was always grateful for that, that he had thought to do that. And I'm also delighted to hear from Melissa of how he's passed so well and easily. Go well, Graham.
Yes, thanks, Irene. Melissa did a great job being with him. And is Ross here? Did Ross come?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, would you like to say something? Because I heard you were doing the last rites with Melissa for Graham.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yep.
I can indeed. Oh. You sound very sexy.
Yes, well, I got there early and Graham, first thing he said, I don't know how you got in. And I said, oh, we're used to being in hospitals. I just zipped through the door. And he said to me, this is what happened.
That is really funny. You came in through the door.
Well, because it's closed all the time and it's locked unless you're a staff member, but I just managed to get through. He said to me, I've had enough of this. You know, I don't want to do this. I want to go home. And I said, yes. And he said, when can I go? And I said, well, Melissa's coming and we're going to give you the last rites. And then your family's coming. And then I suppose the day after that or the next day. And he seemed to be quite happy with that. But the thing about Graham is that whenever the conversations I had with him, he had this great depth to him. We got on because we were both involved in the music industry and had that rapport, but he had such a great, he's a very deep thinker, and I would have liked to have spent more time speaking with him.
And the thing I always noticed is he had these huge ears, and they, I called them musician ears, because a lot of musicians have really big ears. And apparently, according to Mario, they have, there's a special organ in the ear that every musician has. So that's nice to know. And you would have that too, Ross, being the recording person that you are.
I always thought they looked like butter ears.
And I love the way you play, Fabian.
Thank you.
I love the way you played at Annette's funeral. There was one piece you wrote, I cannot remember its name. It was divine. What did you play?
It was from Pelican Suite, I think. One of the
was
pieces.
It?
I can't remember which one it was. But yes.
Beautiful.
Pelican's
beautiful music.
Was.
Pelican's what?
Rest.
Oh, yes, that's what it was. It was just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Now, Ken, would you like to say anything else?
Frances hasn't spoken yet.
Where is she?
I'm here.
In, where are you?
In Wellington, New Zealand.
Oh, gosh, gee, you look gorgeous. Your hair is stunning. Thank you. Yes, please, well, Frances.
I met Graham but once, and that was at the retreat at Geelong. And I take on board the things that people say about him, because, of course, I never had another face-to-face meeting with him, but he was very, as other people have said, he was kind, and he spoke to me, he saw, I felt reasonably unfamiliar and uncomfortable, and I think he made a bit of an effort to include me, because he certainly was very nice to me. And after, he befriended me on Facebook, so I felt as if I knew him, actually, even though in the way that, you know, Facebook people, you have these sort of, you know, as Irene said, his messages about musicians of whom I had never heard, but that wasn't the point. But that made me feel connected to him, and I did feel terribly sad when I heard that he was ill, and I feel very good now listening to all the things that people have said about him and learning so much more about him, and as we gather to be part of his transition. So thank you.
Beautiful. And I think the soul always needs to hear the great things that it has done, especially when you're, was he 82? 82, yeah, boy, I don't even want to go there. are Janine and Linda here at all?
No.
Rain and Stuart are there, but I don't think they can turn off their mute. Are you able to unmute them?
Not me, no, they have to do that for themselves.
Themselves, okay.
Oh, they yes. Can wave to us.
They've unmuted.
Give us a wave. Unfortunately, Irene, you're good at this, aren't you? Can you help Rain and Stuart with their muting?
Only the host or yourself can do that.
I can see that they're unmuted, but they may not be close to a speaker. The reason I came in late was because I had trouble getting my Zoom working. And maybe they're not close enough. Maybe they need a headset or a microphone. Have they got a microphone?
And have they turned the volume up? It's easy to forget.
Maybe there is a little button.
We
we should be able to switch. We should be able to switch them back on, but unfortunately, I can't see, and Melody can't see. So they're going to be the victims of old age, at least on our behalf. We might not be 82, but our combined eyesight deficiency is preventing us from discovering them and turning them and unmuting them. I don't know.
And also, I was going to say, Francesco, you have the most beautiful eyes.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Let me go all red, Melody, there. Thank you.
Gorgeous. Okay, Shula, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, God, you look gorgeous. Look at that hair.
Can you hear
all me? That etheric. Yes, we can hear you.
Well, when I first moved here, Graham made the effort to come and see me. He rang me up and we had long chats in cafes, and he always made the effort to make me feel comfortable. And what I most noticed about him, wherever he was, he always created a space of silence, and it was like a bubble around you.
Mm.
And you could hear yourself and you could feel connected. And he always brought that with him wherever he was. So thank you, Graham. Your love meant a lot.
Right.
Really did. Who was it? Janet? Thanks, Shula. That was really beautiful. All this is giving the power to the soul to move on. Is Janet there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, yeah. Well, then let's hear from you.
Well, like others, I wasn't really in Graham's circle a lot, but well, I think I would term what I would say we were on grunting terms. we didn't have any in-depth conversations, just the odd sort of cursory chats type of thing. But one thing that I does come to mind is last Wednesday when with Melissa we went to see him in hospital, and he was outside in the garden. They take him outside, and you know, before they were really discontinued the full treatment, and it was just so lovely to see him surrounded by his family. It was like there was a big cone around them, and it was just a big cone of light, and he was the king holding court over his family, and they were all, you know, fussing and talking to him, and it was just so lovely to see. You know, the amount of love that was just in that space at that time, and the sun was shining, and you know, it was just a beautiful area to be in. And you know, and I just looked up at the sky, because it was a beautiful blue sky, and I just remember thinking to myself, well, you know, soon he'll be off to the big band in the sky type of thing. So, but it was just the love that was coming from the family, you know, as they surrounded him that day. And I just thought, right to the very end, you know, that's all that matters.
That's really beautiful. And it's lovely to see you, Janet. We haven't seen you for ages.
So likewise,
have
yes.
We?
No.
I've
been absent.
Absolutely lovely. I'm just trying to see if someone else wrote something. Sorry for the delay. Chat amongst yourselves. Is Frank there? We do have Frank. Frank, please speak.
Yeah, I'm here. I met Graham at my ordination in 1996 in Frankston. I saw him at the last retreat, He was very caring, uplifting, always to me. So, yeah, I love you, Graham.
That's what we wanted to hear. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you. That's just awesome. Just love you, Graham, too.
Thank you.
We had a very long, long friendship, but always very platonic. So it's just wonderful. And the other thing I was going to say, that if you talked on the telephone to him, it's like he would have been a really good salesperson. He had this gift of drawing things out, you know. Lovely voice, beautiful voice. I really loved it. And at his ordination, I sang a particular song, and he was lying there on his bed looking like death. And he joined in to sing it with me, and I just thought that was extraordinary. So I'm not sure who I've left off.
What Raymond, are you doing, Judith? Melody, Rain and Stuart can hear you, but they can't speak. Sorry.
Well, can they please give us a wave?
Yeah, okay. I'll set time.
I was going to say maybe they have the microphone from their computer off, so that can be a little button to touch, so he activates the microphone. That's the only things I can think of.
Like a good idea to me.
It should be up here in some one of these, maybe. Or there is a microphone. You should be able to see it, probably.
That's on a PC, not a Mac.
Yeah, it's a PC. She can test her speaker and microphones. There's a little arrow on the right of the microphone where you can test it. Otherwise,
yes. So there is.
Leave the meeting and rejoin.
For example, here there is this.
Yeah.
Something like that. That says off.
Who's going on Friday to the soul mass that Melissa's taking?
I am.
Yeah, I am.
I'll be
Julie Janet.
Julie Kidney's going.
Yeah.
Julie is flying down.
Yeah, I knew that. She told us. She's very communicative.
There's 12 of us.
And what are you doing for music?
Well, we are going to have Kiri Leeson on the Bandolonian, because he said, he told me towards the end that the Bandolonian was his favorite instrument and he wanted a Bandolonian solo at his funeral. Yeah. So we're going to have that, and I don't know, maybe we'll have some surprises. I don't know, we'll see.
Oh, I know, you said to beckon a month.
I did.
You'll never shut them. You'll never shut them up.
I don't know what they're going to do yet. They can decide if they want to. Yeah. So we're having at least that, and there'll be some other things. He had a big long list of music that he wanted. Some will be used for the funeral service. It's not going to be live streamed, but the update is, so 9:30 Friday, the 12 of us are meeting. First, his funeral is at the Christian community, the Steiner Church in Hawthorne. So 9:30 we're meeting, and 11 o'clock is the main service. And then the big muso wake at the Melbourne RSL later in the day.
Yeah, I heard John told me, John Hawes told me about that. So
yeah,
he's definitely going. Yeah.
And the other news that I should tell everybody is that Andrew Graham's son called this morning, and Peter McKenna, Graham's brother-in-law, Helen is Graham's sister and Peter's her husband, he passed away 2 days ago as well.
Oh my goodness.
And that was quite unexpected. Even though he was ill, it was unexpected. So they're a bit reeling us from that too.
Whoa-wee. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. And how old was he?
I'm not sure. Yeah, but I don't know if Helen was younger or older than Graham. I think she was younger. Do you know?
I think she probably was younger, yes. Oh, my God, that's it's a tragedy when you don't know what's going next. You know, like Graham knew, I want to go home.
Yeah.
And he knew. Sally was like that too, definitely knew. And I think one day soon we'll all be able to go home too. Like I said to you, Melissa, I'm so glad you're doing so much work because you're 20 years younger than I. 20 years younger, 11-11-67, good God. And you're looking good too. So I was going
to... We haven't heard from John.
No, we haven't.
John Pattenden?
No.
JR. JR wants to go last. He already said that to me. He's already been giving me the orders.
you can see which person the word John takes it to, though.
What? I missed that.
You can see which person the name John doesn't take her to her husband. So when you're ready.
I don't think I really understood that.
It was very occult.
Of course. Absolutely, totally hidden. I did want to do one more thing. I just wanted to ask Ken if he had anything to add to what he already said, which was beautiful anyway, but I know you and Graham had a very, very strong connection. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, we did. We really did. I think so much has been said, Melody, already. I think to follow on from what Amart said, I think he was a fearless man. He was a fearless, gentle. That
it's hailing here, absolutely fucking there. Just started.
Oh, that's Heidi telling you about the weather, doing the weather report.
Oh my God, you should see the hail on my balcony. It's freaking huge. Sorry.
How many shots have you had, Heidi?
Absolutely nothing. I've been on the water today. But
bugger that. Anyway, no, we're drinking. Are you drinking any wine or anything?
No, just water.
Okay. Well, Ken, please continue.
Look, I won't take up too much time. I was watching those, looking at the photos of, I think it was the elevations, and there was a photo of myself, Graham, and Lizzie. And I think the night that Graham died, I've got a photo of Lizzie, which I keep light a candle every night and stuff. And I just looked at her and said, sweetheart, you've got a really, really, really good friend coming your way. And
oh, gorgeous. Yes.
And I actually really mean that because it's she loved him. She loved him hugely. I loved him hugely. He, look, it's really hard. It's really hard to sort of express all these things because we are at that time of life, really, aren't we? All of us sitting here, whether we're in that sort of spectrum. We're in that spectrum where anything could happen. And we're getting closer towards those worlds which we come from so long ago. And it's like we're starting to become really resonate again to be closer to that again. And I think it's like we were taught a long time ago when we're kids, we have our etheric with really expansive. And we feel close to the spiritual worlds. And the older we get, our expands again. Like we become kids again, and it's like we're going back home again. And I think that when these things happen, we get very thoughtful of this and we get mindful of this. And I guess the only thing I could either say is that, you know, all of us have lived a fairly longish life. And we are so fortunate amongst us all to have met and be associated and loved very, very special people, hugely special people. And we're very fortunate and blessed to be able to be in a group or something like this, which is, we know, as a free priest, which come from long origins that go back a long way. And that we can sit together like this and just love each other, appreciate each other, and give huge thanks and huge blessings to such a beautiful, beautiful man. I think that's all I can say, really.
I think you've done it. You were always a really compelling speaker, as far as I was concerned. So thank you for those words. And at this stage, if I've got through everybody, tell me if I haven't. I'll go to JR then.
Thank you, Melody.
Yes.
Husband JR. Thank you, Husband John. That's I like it. I have absolutely loved this tribute to Graham. And before I start on the little bit that I really wanted to say, I just wanted to note how many of you talked about Graham as a people person. And when I was doing the picture show from all the beautiful pictures that Heidi found, you probably remember that in almost every photo, Graham is with someone, not on his own. He's always with another person. And that's Graham. And the second thing that really took my fancy was Melissa when she said how compartmentalized Graham was in his life. She used this beautiful image of three rivers. There was the river of the priesthood. There was the river of the music. There was a river of his family life, and he kept them all extremely separate. And I would actually add another river to that, and that was his, what I would call his esoteric and spiritual life, because as some of you have suggested, he had this incredible spiritual knowledge and longing, and that was part of why he came into the temple, because that was his way of expressing that particular river in his life. Melody and I intersected three out of four of these rivers. We knew him, of course, as a priest. We knew him in the teaching sense, the spiritual teaching sense. And we also, of course, played with him or performed with him musically. And Melody introduced me to Graham in the late 90s, or so the early, no, sometime in the late 90s, I think, in Melbourne, just wandered in off the street, and she was totally bowled over. And soon he was playing with us. And at that time, we had a little trio called Sophisticated Lady that was me on the keyboards, Melody was the singer, and Fabian was playing bass. And one day after we'd done a few little songs at the centre, Graham said to me thoughtfully, you know, I'm waiting for praise and approbation from this wonderful musician. He said, you know, I could give Fabian a gig.
Yes.
That was it. I could give Fabian a gig. Thanks, Graham. And we didn't always have quite the same ideas about playing piano. And I did note that he tried very hard to stop my piano playing coming through. But we overcame that. And by the way, Francesco, you're wondering about whether there's anything afterwards. Let me just say that our teacher used to say, every soul attends its own funeral. Every soul attends its own funeral. And I've known that since about the age of 21. And if you want to train in clairvoyance, just keep your inner eye open for the soul at its own funeral. It will appear. And I love the metaphors that people have talked about, Graham being ready for a party. And from not having anything at all going on when he was on, just died, there was absolutely nothing. He's now got four parties. He's got the soul mass with all the priests today. He's got the soul mass and the physical for the Melissa's going to do on Friday. He's then got a funeral. And then he's got a musician's wake. This guy is a real party animal. Now, the third thing that I really picked up from what people were saying, especially Ken and Amance, is to do with Graham's courage. And Ken called him fearless, which I think is a brilliant description. And it takes me back to a day in 2008, 20th of April it was, and Graham was in dire straits, irreparable cancer, inoperable. Well, he'd actually been operated on, but the prognosis was not good. We had people, medical experts, giving him a life expectancy of anything from a few weeks to a few months. But the medical consensus is he's on his way out. But it turns out that wasn't the spiritual consensus, because I think it was the day before, or it might have even been the same day, it was very, very close to the date of the 20th, a message came from Spirit, and I'm not going to go, as Grace would say, woo-woo, but the message came in a couple of parts. First was a very strong imperative, ordain Graham now. Ordain Graham now. Okay, God, we'll do that for you. And then the next part of the message was very strange. It was a picture of a rainbow. Now, I do understand that the rainbow is associated these days with political type movements of various things, but it actually used to have quite a deep spiritual meaning. You can read Genesis if you want to know the original meaning, but this is what was important. What was important about this rainbow was that it was the bridge to Valhalla from Norse mythology. And as young, I used to be very interested in Norse mythology, the northern mysteries, as Mario would say. And the rainbow is called the bridge to Valhalla, and only warriors, heroes, who fell in battle were allowed to cross. And they were conducted by the Valkyries, the warrior maidens, that became such a feature of Richard Wagner's life. So this... From this, when we unpacked this, we knew that from the moment Graham was ordained, his life would change, and it would be the life of a warrior. And the life of a warrior embodies the courage and the fearlessness that you've spoken of. And to bring this into manifestation, it was necessary that at the very end of the ordination, Melody will sing a song. It's a beautiful song. I have very strong memories of this song. It's about wizards and possibility and hope, and it's called, of course, Over the Rainbow. And she sung this song, and it was a magical moment. Time stood still as the heavens confirmed the power of renewal that had come upon us. Graham loved it.
So just as the rainbow marked the beginning of Graham's life as a priest, Melody will mark the conclusion of this life at Graham's request with that song, Over the Rainbow. Thank you, Melody.
Now I'm crying, I can't sing. Oh, God. I'll give it a go, okay? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me, somewhere over the rainbow. Bluebirds fly, birds fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh why can't I? If happy little bluebirds fly above the rainbow, why, oh why can't I?
Beautiful. Just beautiful.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thanks, Melody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Melody.
Thank you, everyone. And I think JR's going to, he's written a benediction come, what do you call it?
Commitment.
Commitment. And after that, I think we'll just all say goodbye, if that's okay with you guys.
Shall we join together in this last expression of our love for Graham? God of our hearts, we commit to you the soul of our friend and co-worker, Graham Davies. We have shared in his generous spirit. We have remembered his incarnation. We have rejoiced in his victory. And now we release him from the bondage of the body into the freedom of spirit. We set him free from the chains of time into the boundlessness of eternity. And finally, we commend Graham, priest of the Order of Melchizedek, into the hands of his high priest now and forever. So shall it be.
So shall it be.
And to you who have participated in this sharing, who gave of your precious memories, and who celebrated the incarnation of this unique soul, may you go forth in peace. May you spread the wings that are yours and, like Graham, fly over the rainbow. Remember that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In the blessing of the life and light, the love, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be with us now until the end of our days. So shall it be.
So shall it be.
you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good to see everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank
everyone.
You.
Hi, everyone.
On your Graham.
Bye.
Thank
bye.
You.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Love to Graham. Go, 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 go. Free.
That's awesome. Thanks for coming, guys. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you for hosting.
Thank bye. You.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Graham.
Thanks to everything you did, Melissa, too. Do you want to
yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Thanks, thank everybody. You. Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.